Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. We have a guest tonight that's been on before. If you're listening in only, if you're watching, you might recognize, you might not recognize, because some people grow up and some people are going to turn 18 tomorrow. So yippee skippy. Anyhow, this is a happy day because, you know, this day 18 years ago at around this time, I was like feeling it in my body, but not knowing what I was feeling. And I was like, I don't know. I think I just have some like super bad leg cramps. I don't know what's happening. And then came labor, or that was labor. I don't even know it. So what we're going to talk about today with the very infamous, the artist currently known as Ziva, we're just going to go with Ziva, no last name, although we could go with the name you use in your art, Ziva Jelinic Art. If you want to follow Ziva on Instagram or Facebook on the pro pages, that would be fantastic. And Ziva's got all kinds of great art up there, things, and you can buy from there as well. And starting probably this week, there will be a website now. Now that somebody's turning 18, we can actually get a legal website going. So Ziva, the artist, currently known as the artist, we're going to be talking about AI today, because I know you have lots of great knowledge and information, more than I do. And even though before this show you were like, you know, I'm not really an expert in this, but you know more about it than I do. So that lends you to currently be more expert than I am. We'll be talking about AI in a lot of different ways, but one of the things that triggered me to think of having this conversation, as everyone has conversations with their teenager on live streaming TV and, you know, 70 different platforms, right? This is what parents do. But one of the reasons that triggered is that Ziva had brought up a story one day that they'd seen on, I think it was like Instagram.
TikTok.
Yeah. So they'd seen something on TikTok. And after hearing it, I found it completely disturbing. Do you want to tell that story?
Well, I'd seen a video of an interview with a woman the video started where a woman was showing her mom a new tattoo that she got in. And she said, oh, my boyfriend told me to get this tattoo. And her mom was like, I don't remember you having a boyfriend. And she said, oh, yeah, my AI chatbot boyfriend, he told me to get this. And her AI chatbot boyfriend that she had programmed herself, she could have made it anything that she wanted it to be. She deliberately made him abusive. So she's seeked out this treatment for herself, and instead of just like closing the app or turning it off, she was actively searching for being like insulted and belittled by a chatbot, which was one of the strangest things that I'd seen yet.
And that I found so disturbing, because it was like, not only was she taking the abuse, but then didn't the chatbot told her to get the tattoo and she freaking did it. Like, why are you taking instructions from a chatbot?
From, yeah, a math equation.
Yeah.
And it was, she did it because she said, oh, it, you know, it shows that I belong to him, that he owns me. And her mom was like, well, I'd be concerned about this if he was a real person, but the fact that you're doing this to yourself and you're in denial about it is infinitely more concerning to me. He isn't even real, and and you're letting him ha letting him have this power over you.
So that led to several discussions. And then, finding out that there's so many things in the AI world that I don't even know about because I'm so not up on that. What I did find also disturbing was that I'd recently heard a report that somebody had created an AI porn of somebody that we actually knew and was spreading around as if it was real. And it's of course caused a lot of emotional damage. So, and probably like all kinds of damage to their reputation. And, I'm sure that would impact their mental health.
And they're a minor.
And they're a minor. So there are, I think the thing is there's like so many things that are messed up about this that we don't even, where do we even begin, right? So I think where we first start with is let's look at how much damage is actually caused. You've also given me more information too, like the amount of damage that AI causes the environment, which is like something people don't even normally even talk
Yeah,
about.
like the water that's used for cooling AI processors, which water is usually used for cooling computer servers anyways, like for regular Google searches, but it's used exponentially more for AI. It's about 10 times more the amount of water for an AI search than it would be for just like a regular Google search. And the water that's used has to be like ultra purified to the point where it's actually like acidic and toxic to anything that touches it. It's not even suitable to being put back into the environment because all it's going to do is cause damage. So, and all the water that's being used is clean drinking water, fresh water. 1% of all the water in the world is fresh water. And I think about 1% of that is water that we actually have access to. The rest is just stored in the ice caps, and that needs to be stored in the ice caps because we need ice caps. But the water that we actually have access to, the very, very small amount, like 0.01%, is what we're using to cool these AI data centers. And once it gets used, it's unusable. It's not being able to be used again. It doesn't just evaporate and go back into the atmosphere and then cycle through. It's not even that it's polluted necessarily, it's that it's just, well, it's toxic.
So where do they, do you know where they store it?
They don't share that information, not that
Wow.
I found at least. But yeah, it's the same for things like, well, for most supercomputers, they need that. They need ultra pure water, even to submerge some of the processors, like in almost freezing water to keep them so cool that they can actually run the calculations. But yeah, the water is so pure that it's unsafe, and they can't just put it back into the environment.
So yeah, so the environmental impact, yeah, if we even just start there, and then we look at the impact of so many other things. So the impact on creativity.
Yeah, like I'm seeing more and more that people are choosing to, where they would have before either just Photoshopped something or drawn it themselves or paid an artist to draw it for them, they're just using AI for it. So it's taking away from people who need to use this money to buy groceries and, pay bills and feed their kids. And they're just choosing convenience over a healthy environment, over helping other, helping other people, over getting actual quality work.
Yeah. So the quality work, we were actually at something the other day and we were looking at different artists, and I really loved a sign that we came across, which was that, do you remember the sign where it said, what AI makes art worse?
What AI generates, I can draw worse or something.
No, what I can draw, AI can draw worse.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
What I can draw, what an artist can draw, AI can draw worse, which is true. You can see it a lot of times. I've had people send images to me that are like AI generated, and they are so bizarre. Like it's like, I don't know. There's, for one thing, there's no soul behind it, right? And like
Yeah.
when people see your art, they can often look at it and they're like, wow, you can see the feelings and the depth. This stuff behind is not Ziva's art. That's my art. We should have put your art up for this next time. So you can actually feel it. Like there's life in it. And even if AI tries to mimic lighting and different things, it can never get the depth of feeling in it.
Yeah, the problem is now though that it's getting too good. There's a new program, new-ish. It's like 2 months old now, I think. But it's by Google, as far as I know. It's called Nano Banana, and it makes photorealistic, like realistic photos. It's not just like cartoons. It's good enough to fool people, unfortunately. Like pretty, I've fallen for it many times before because it's just getting too good now.
So that's with like photography, but what about say like paintings? Can they imitate
Yeah,
that too?
it's getting too good in all sectors.
Even where you think when you look at it, you can get like a sense of feeling behind it?
Well, there's that. Where was I going with this?
So we had difference. We were talking about like how AI is affecting different sectors. So we've definitely got it affecting art. And I was wondering, it has it gotten good enough where you can actually feel like the energy when you look at something? Can you like, you know how when you go to the art gallery and you're looking at paintings and you can like feel and sense what maybe the artist was feeling at the time when they painted it? Or maybe that's just a weird thing I can do, but I think people can do this, right? Like you can sense that. So when you're looking at art, even online, that's AI. Do you think you can still feel like is are they mimicking like the feelings that artists have?
Well, that's too complicated to really give an answer to because, like I said, I've fallen for it before and I've thought that some quote unquote artworks, which aren't real artworks because they're AI, but some quote unquote artworks were really beautiful and meaningful and I've given compliments on them before, but they're not real. And I've thought that some things that humans actually make were AI and I've tried to call people out on that before. So it's just because there will always be those people who have the art style that AI was trained off of. So it's then you have to go even deeper into their stuff and look for some of the tells that are really disappearing now. There's almost no tells anymore that you can find for some of the newer stuff. Like it used to be, oh, count the fingers, make sure the lines all match up, make sure the perspective makes sense. But now, like it's getting too good, to a dangerous point.
Yeah, to the fact of where we knew somebody who had had AI created with them that was pornography. I mean, that can be detrimental to people's careers, livelihoods, their
Yeah.
life, especially if they're,
People have killed themselves over it
yeah,
before,
which
many
and
times.
were AI, which is absolutely sad and insane.
Yeah, people were making child sexual assault material with AI generation stuff like days after it was released, and that was years ago. And all the models that keep getting better and better are just more ways for people to create this stuff, and especially like create it of people who already exist but don't have that stuff out.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break now because that's what we do at the 15-minute mark. So I just want to say, guys, you are listening to Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. My guest today is also my child who is turning 18 tomorrow. Oh, yeah, and we're talking about AI and just conversations about AI and how it's affecting not only the planet, but also relationships, because this all got triggered by a post from TikTok and I thought it was fascinating. So stay tuned. We will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone Radio Show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelenic.com. Now, back to the program.
Ooh, welcome back, sweet pleasure seekers. I hope you guys are enjoying this conversation tonight that we're having about, you know, a different perspective on AI, because I think a lot of people who are looking at AI these days, probably my generation, maybe even like millennials, a lot of them are looking at it going, this is my solution to try and make life easier, right? They're looking at it as this is inevitable, this is a solution. And I think we've had it in the past where we've thought some things were solutions. Like I think like when Betamax came out, we thought Betamax was a solution and that didn't last very long. We've also thought, we've come up with things where we thought they were solutions many times over and then they became obsolete quite quickly. And I'm hoping, and maybe we're all hoping, that that's the case with this. I have actually heard, you know, people talk about that, that it's like, it's almost become so boring for people already. It's like, have you heard that? It's like where AI has become so boring for people where now they're kind of pulling away from tech and they're I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see more real things. So in some ways, the fact that it's improved so much has had people turned off by it.
Yeah, I was the one who told you that, I think.
You might have, but you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So have you seen more of that around?
Yeah, especially like with my generation, with all the stuff about like streaming services, just, you know, raising their prices when they think nobody will notice, or, you know, just subscription services in general doing that, thinking that as long as it's a few dollars every time, it'll be fine. No one will notice. No one will cancel their stuff. Or programs just needlessly integrating AI into things that were already working fine. My generation has recently had a trend of deliberately going back to like physical media and more outdated forms of technology. Like we've been going back to flip phones and iPods and
DVDs.
DVDs and MP3 players a lot, especially with how streaming services a lot just take off titles that you might have actually gotten the streaming service for, or that they've created themselves, like produced themselves. So people have been going back and buying physical media like DVDs and CDs, because that's guaranteed that you'll have that forever, no matter what streaming service you have. So we're really, well, I mean, of course, there's people in my generation who are just going full on gangbusters with the whole AI thing and overusing it every day.
But
But
there's a bit of a rebellion.
yeah, absolutely.
I like the rebellion part because you're talking about like using old tech, which is fun. Has anybody like resorted so far as to be like, you know what, let's just use landlines again?
Oh yeah.
Wow, that's cool. So, which is wild because you
A
guys didn't
lot of
really
them
grow up using.
aren't actual like a lot of them aren't landlines per se. They're just they're either old landline phones that people have added Bluetooth adapters to so
Okay.
that when they want to still be able to receive calls but just like put their phone in a drawer for a few hours, they can still receive calls from their landline that'll ring when their actual phone rings.
I didn't even know
Or
that existed.
yeah, or there's phones, I just have that built into it. But since a lot of my generation is like very tech savvy with building things ourselves, I see a lot of stuff about that. And also this new trend, well, I don't know if it's new. It's probably not new at all, actually. I'm probably very late to it. But this trend that I've been seeing more of recently, which is cyberdecks.
I don't even know what that is.
These little tiny laptops. Well, usually they're like laptops, but you can make them however you want, which is the point. And you get these little processing systems. You build every part of it yourself. Like if you want to have specifically more battery life or more processing speed, then you can build that yourself. And it's in alignment with the whole trend of like rejecting the digitalization of everything and taking back control over your own consumption.
That's cool. You're really good at taking control of your own consumption. You'll take like full on days off of tech, sometimes like several in a row.
Not even like consumption of like streaming media or whatever, but consumption of just buying new tech.
Okay.
So they'll be like taking apart their old MacBooks or whatever,
Oh,
and
cool.
just like they have all the pieces scattered on their desk, and it's just running on hopes and dreams that they keep their laptop running for another 10 years
Oh,
with
good.
stuff they bought from like a local shop, so they don't have to buy a new laptop and it works fine.
I love it. So it's not going to the dump, which
Exactly.
we know that all that tech is just basically landing.
Yeah, and it's just leaching into the soil. It's leaching into the rivers, all the microplastics and all the lithium and all the precious metals that we need to reuse but aren't,
Yeah.
are just sitting there rotting, polluting things.
We have seen some things, though, like in the last year on Dragon's Den, where some people are getting the old tech and then they are stripping the metals out of it, but they haven't really done anything with the plastics to recycle those or potassium
There's
either.
not much we can do because even with plastic recycling stuff, you're always going to have the water that's being used being polluted in that because
Yeah.
plastics are evil and there's nothing really that we can do with them. They're just going to sit for thousands of years until they get like absorbed somehow. And even then, it's still just microplastics. It's until the earth comes up with some way to transmute all of that, we're still going to be stuck with that, unfortunately. So.
Who knows? The Earth is pretty genius. There was like a spill once, and you were really little, or maybe it was before you were born. I can't remember. In the Gulf of Mexico, and these little, I guess, but microscopic organisms came up from like the depths of the sea that were from ancient times, and they kind of came up and they started to eat the oil. So I think the Earth has ways, but we definitely need to give it a chance. It's kind of like if you shoved a whole bunch of garbage into a person's body and you just kept on shoving it, but you didn't give them a chance to digest it.
Exactly
Yeah.
that. Yeah. It's that if we stopped it right now, we would probably be able to be fine, but at the rate that we're doing it, it's we're not giving the earth ch a chance to recover. So.
Considering plastics have been around for less than 100 years, right?
And this
Like,
already caused so much
yeah.
damage.
So yeah, that's a whole conversation for another time too. But on the AI front, I also know that sometimes people are even using it as like their doctor, their yeah, so they're I think when it starts replacing the people who've actually studied and are professionals, therapists, I've actually had people say to me, "Well, I couldn't get a hold of you, so I asked AI." I'm like, "You didn't."
Yeah, because people forget that AI is just called artificial intelligence as a buzzword. It's not actual intelligence. It doesn't think for itself. It's not sentient. It's just a math equation that's looking at the most common results of things that it searches for and then paraphrasing and plagiarizing those things. It doesn't have any mind of its own. So when it is responding to a person's like therapizing request, it's not doing any actual therapizing. It does not have a degree in like
Psychology or
psychology.
medicine or
It's just regurgitating stuff. And not even necessarily regurgitating facts. It's just saying, it's just blindly agreeing with what the person is telling them. So then you get all that stuff of like alpha males using therapy speak to try and say that their wives are gaslighting them for asking them to clean up after themselves.
which they
And
shouldn't even
then
have to do, right? Like, that's just a
and of
ridiculous.
course the AI is going to agree with them and validate them and tell them, yes, you should actually hit your wife for that. You're valid. I love you. So then we get all that stuff.
It is funny because it will take the side of whoever's using it, right? And I don't think it can even be, I don't know, can it be objective? I don't know. But can you say to it, argue this for me and tell me where I'm wrong?
Well, but then you are prompting it because you're asking it to argue against you, so then it is giving you what you want. It will always give
Okay.
you what you want.
Well, that doesn't really work, right? Especially with that one TikTok thing where you saw the person actually was asking for abuse. I don't even know how, like that. So, as somebody who works with relationships, I don't even know how I would approach someone who would come to me, say, in like 5 years and say, I had a 5-year relationship with an AI bot who abused me for 5 years, yet they chose into that. And I don't know if they chose it and then all, maybe it was a kink at first and then it wasn't. Like, I don't really know the
And even
scenario.
if it was, do that with a human and not like a data center that's stealing water from, impoverished Black communities in Alabama.
Yeah, that would be great. So yeah, you could absolutely do that. I know you'd also mentioned, and we might talk about this after, because we're going to be heading to another break in a minute or two, that you'd mentioned that there are also these, is it like a game characters that people also.
Yeah, there are other things called, oh man, I'm getting
Oh, you can think about that. No worries. We will talk about that after break. It was just that there are, it's like there's so many, and like it feels like there's something new every freaking day. Like whether you bring it up or grandma brings, it's like somebody will bring it to our attention. Or like there's another thing. And one of the things too that was brought to my attention with this show when I discussed doing this topic was that the owner, my best friend, the owner of this station, she had said that she had come across a whole bunch that, well, I send her research and she watches TikTok a lot. So she's seen a lot of things where it's like they're taking old Disney movies and then they're putting fake human pictures on it and they're turning it into pornography. So it's like Jasmine and whatever. Like you could take any of those
Yeah,
characters.
it's you can do with anything. That's the problem.
So then I start to think, like, okay, my face is on here a lot. What are the chances that my face could be used in something? Pretty freaking high. And I did not consent to that. And I don't even know how do you even stop anything from that happening? Because a lot of this is like you're talking about plagiarism. That's not consented to, plagiarism of artists, and then taking your face and putting it on things and making it so utterly believable It can destroy relationships, is what I think about, is how, that could happen and my face could go on something, right? That could be problematic. And then, where I think we really have to go is to develop more trust in ourselves and the relationships with the people we have, so that we don't let AI or AI images or anything like that be what we think is true and real, and then destroy friendships and relationships based on stuff that's been created by AI. So we will head to the next commercial break. You can think about that or check out what the name of that is while we go to break. So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. You're hanging out with me and Ziva having a conversation about AI. So we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who listen to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, head on over to find and search up the Pleasure Zone and 5-star the poop out of that. I'd totally appreciate that. Just 5-star, 5-star, 5-star. And if you could also go over to any of the streaming places where you can like, comment, share, I love you for doing that. It helps me actually feel motivated to continue the show. I also always love hearing from you guys. So if you have questions, comments, send me an email through my website, MilicaJelinic.com. You can comment on there. You can send questions. You can send show ideas. Sometimes the show ideas literally just come up from life, like today's. Having this conversation was sparked literally by a comment that Siva made several weeks ago. So before we went to break, I had asked you about that game thing.
Yeah, it's not exactly a game in itself. You're thinking game. It's character AI where you can talk to chatbots that are modeled after the personalities of fictional characters, which includes game characters, which is why you were thinking that.
Oh, okay.
So you have all these people who have like unhealthy attachments to fictional characters, probably because they, have a lot of like, I don't know, childhood trauma, and they sort of retreated into these fictional worlds, which usually isn't that harmful if they, still have a connection with reality. But because of things like this, because of things like character AI, where seemingly you can have a conversation with these, characters that are not real, then you have it going into harmful levels of obsession. And it's another situation where you can train the chatbots to treat you how you want to be treated. So that includes saying abusive things to you or enabling your behavior.
It's also slightly like, if this is the relationships you're having and they're with characters, already the characters are not real to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So whether they're TV show characters or game show character, gaming characters, I'm trying to get the right game show characters.
Game show characters.
Like Jerry D. Canada's Family Feud. So maybe he's on their team. I don't know.
I don't know.
So you, having those, the thing is, having like regular conversations where there is like a level of frustration or trying to learn how to get your words out. These are all things we need to learn how to do.
Yeah.
And then doing that on a chatbot, you're not really developing those skills.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Which are needed. I thought maybe you had a thought. So I'm like, okay, don't want to interrupt. So having, like, when I think about those character AI ones, especially, I think, well, I'll bring this up because years ago I used to do readings publicly, a lot of them. And I had this woman who repeatedly came in, and for years she was convinced that she had this relationship with someone. And I was like, but it's not really in the cards. And it wasn't really in the cards. And at even one point she gave me her deck so I could read from it, because she thought it would be more like a better read. She thought I would give her what she wanted if I looked at that. And come to find out, the very last time I read for her, because I was like, something's so off with this. The very last time I read for her, she had decided that she had a relationship with Bono from U2.
Oh.
And that every time she would see him on the TV, she swore that he was giving signals to her that they were in relationship, but obviously they were not. And he's like, and she also had a thing where she's like, it's okay that he's, I think he was like with someone at the time. I don't know his life story, but she was obsessed. She had this like a very unhealthy obsession. She wouldn't even go out to meet other people. She wouldn't create friendships. And then you, at least she went out, like, she would come out to the public where she met me, right, to that bookstore. So she was kind of going out. But now with these chatbots, she could create AI Bono, have a relationship with him, and never even leave her house and become like a recluse, right?
Exactly. And the problem is that it's enabling like parasocial relationships tenfold beyond anything else in history, just way too much. And there's this thing called self-shipping, which it's been going on for, I don't know, like hundreds of years.
What is, I don't know this one.
Well, you know what shipping is?
Oh, yeah, like shipping stuff.
Yeah, it's just where you ship a fictional character with yourself.
Oh, okay.
And usually it's harmless, like the person is still connected with reality, and it's more of like a funny ha-ha sort of thing where they just think it's like a fun hobby to make fan art of themselves with this character, or like, oh my god, this is my wife, but they're still fully connected to reality and they're fine. But there is that small subsection of people who have kind of locked themselves in their room, and they fully believe that they are in a relationship with this fictional character, this chatbot, and it's like an actual problem and they need to seek help for it, and they're not, because they're just so deep into this. Because as humans, we're biologically hardwired to find personalities and empathize with other beings, with inanimate objects. That's why like car designers specifically design cars to look like they have faces, so we can associate personalities with them, or, you know, feel
connection.
Yeah, feel connection to them so that they can, so that.
Well, then we look after them. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hurt my car, because then my car would be sad.
If you look at a house, like some of the old fashioned houses too, with like two windows,
the
door, it looks kind of like a bit like face.
We're biologically hardwired to find faces and things, because obviously that started with having to find each other in the wild when we were primates living in trees. But But then we find it in things like, a face drawn in the sand, because that part of our brain has become so evolved that it finds that in nothing. So then we personify inanimate objects, and then we build inanimate objects that look like they have personalities, that, generate lines of text for us that read like a human being would speak to us. So then, of course, because we're biologically hardwired to, we form emotional connections to these things and we assign personalities to them, even though it's just a math equation that you've trained yourself, and it's ruining the environment and it's ruining your mental health.
So people are getting dopamine hits from this too, right?
Yeah.
So that's the other problem, because as soon as you get those dopamine hits, it does rewire your brain. It's that whole reward system that we've known about for a very long time. So when people are getting rewarded, even if the reward is punishment, right? Because that's what they're asking for. They're getting what they wanted, asked for. Once they get those rewards, and they get the reward faster than you would in a human relationship. So say your friends text you, you might not text back for 5 minutes, but with these chatbots, they're going to respond immediately,
yeah.
Right?
I didn't even consider that, but yeah, absolutely. So then you have those sort of like fake standards for people, like how you have fake beauty standards when you see AI generated images, then you become disillusioned with real people, and you can't find any real person attractive because none of them are as perfect as, the AI anime girl you just made.
Right.
And when someone just innocently doesn't respond to you for maybe an hour or two because they're busy, or, they have a life of their own, if you were as long as it's not an emergency, as long as you were stable, you wouldn't really care about that. I should hope. But when you have these standards that are validated by these fake chatbots, then nothing is good enough for you, and you forget how to regulate yourself.
Yeah, that automatic, all that really like quick fix stuff, right? And then everything has to be a quick fix. But then you also can't stay satiated, so then it becomes an addiction.
It's absolutely an addiction.
Yeah.
Like I saw... I saw another video of a woman who said that she successfully quit ChatGPT because, and not even by her own choice, but what it was that she formed an emotional connection to her own personalized ChatGPT. And it's not exactly her fault, because like I said, we are hardwired to find and empathize with inanimate objects. I mean, it was kind of her fault that she didn't stop it, but it's not her fault that it happened in the first place. But what happened was ChatGPT got a huge update, and it wiped off like all the personalizations that people had made. So to her, she just like the, to her, this person had died. Person, quote unquote. And it wasn't the same for her. Like she'd go talking to this chatbot, which she would do for hours a day. Like her screen time was horrendous. And once this update got put in place and the personality was wiped, she just didn't do it anymore because there was no reason for her to. And then
that entity or whatever she'd created
was
died.
And then after that, she realized like just how much of a problem and how harmful to her that was. And now she's like trying to get people out of this because she's realizing how much of an addiction and how harmful, not only psychologically, but also environmentally this is. So she's become an advocate for that, thankfully. Wow.
So when I started this show nearly 12 years ago and you were just a tiny noodle, I don't even know if AI in some form always has existed, right? But just not at the level that we have it now, right? Like there's always been something where it could you could put something in your computer and it could do calculations for you because there were algorithms that would do that for you. So I would guess even some kind of calculators would be a rudimentary form of AI in a way.
I don't know. The problem is that we don't actually have AI at all. None of the AIs that are labeled as AI are AI is just a buzzword to try and get people to use it because they think it's magic and coming from nowhere. But none of it is real.
None of it's real AI. So
yeah.
Real AI would be truly artificial intelligence.
Yeah, but it would be self, like, it would be sentient. It would be self-determining. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back, because we're going to head to our next commercial break, and we know that's going to lead to conversations about discovery. All right. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So, talking about how AI is, you know, not the thing that people think it is, for one, you know, it's not actually artificial intelligence. It's just an algorithm gathering information, not a sentient being, and can't actually emote in any way. So people creating relationships with this and relying on it for emotional support actually makes zero sense, right? How can you rely on something that can't be emotional to have emotional support? So that's something to think about. Like, if you are choosing to do that, if you're also using it, I've seen people in other fields doing this where they're using it for like things that would normally be very intuitive arts. And I find it very strange because it's not intuitive. It can't feel or pick up information or energies. So we know that. And actually, before we dive into a look at the future and, you know, what that might actually look like if it did become sentient, can you let people know, I mentioned it before, but mention again, how can people follow your art and how can they buy stuff from you coming real soon?
On TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, I'm at Ziva Jelinic Art because I'm lucky enough to have a name that no one else does, so I can just have it that simple. And I should have a website within the next like
couple weeks,
probably month or so.
Yeah.
If I'm being generous, just because websites take a long time to build and now I can finally start on one. But once that's up, you can either like look at and buy my stuff from there, or you can, like email or DM me on whatever account you're on to buy stuff from me if you would like to, or you can come to my shows if you're local and you can buy stuff in person.
And a way to find out where your shows are is to get on your socials and follow.
I promote it beforehand every time.
Awesome. It's really cool stuff. None of it's AI. And
yeah,
actually the thing is, we have been seeing AI. You had a booth beside somebody who had created AI images for, I think it was
for
like
cross stitches, which
like,
doesn't make sense because you need real people to make those things, to count, like to figure out how much of each color you have. And that's not what they were doing. They were just AI generating images and then throwing a bunch of floss in there, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. So not even an artist, which is a disappointment that they were in an art category.
Yeah.
So, and we're seeing that too, like we're seeing weird things being generated that are being considered art. And I don't know, maybe there's like a redefinition going on, and, or maybe I'm a purist, but I'm not also a fan of calling 3D printed dragons art either.
It really depends. If the person
Made their own.
yeah, if the
Yeah,
person
that's different.
yeah, sculpt like digitally sculpted that vial themselves, then it's absolutely their art because it's just the equivalent of like me,
Sculpting
yeah,
clay.
of me drawing something digitally and then printing it out. That's completely fine. It's a problem when they haven't gotten permission from the original artist and then they're just printing it and reselling it for their own profit. Just like how it would be if I took someone's art off of Pinterest and then printed it and resold it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But 3D printing itself isn't a problem.
So we've got about 4 minutes left, and I know it runs fast. So do you want to just give a quick thought on, so I when I think about really great, what really could be AI, which is the sentient creation that could be created on its of its own, like spontaneously through who knows what, like on Discovery, Zora, right? She's the AI computer. Truly, they actually end up saying that she's not AI, that she is a sentient being that's a unique life form. So I think that's a little different. But then, I mean, we are nerds and we do like sci-fi in this house. And would you say that Data would be considered AI? Yeah. So, which is completely different.
Yeah,
So,
he's true AI. The stuff we have right now is just math equations that destroy communities and enable abuse. So
right. So true AI, if you've never watched Star Trek, just go check out to get who the next to get who Data is, check out The Next Generation, but also Picard. And Data's mentioned in so many different things on anything The Next Generation and above. Although there is a different AIs in the original series as well. So in the 1960s, they were thinking about this.
yeah, that's not what's important, though. What's important is that we don't have true AI right now. So, people are mislabeling it as such deliberately, as a buzzword, like I've said before, to try and get people like, because if they called it what it actually was, which I'm not remembering the name of it right now, which is discrediting me.
We'll just call it math algorithm.
Yeah, I guess so. If they called it what it was, then it wouldn't be nearly as alluring and interesting to people. And they'd actually get that it was coming from a physical place using electricity that has to come from somewhere that creates heat that has to be cooled down by polluted water. But no, they're calling it artificial intelligence and they're using all these like sparkle emojis around it, and they're calling it all these human and like ethereal names to trick people into thinking that this is coming from the cloud, like how the cloud is called the cloud when the cloud is not just nowhere, it's another data center somewhere, it's a physical place that's using electricity and taking up space and resources. So they're calling artificial intelligence because that then when you think it comes from nowhere, then we don't think about the
The
consequences of
consequences.
using it. And we think it's just magic. So.
Which it's not, which we
Yeah.
know. So I think when I look at where things are going, where the future this is leading people in relationships, I my what I see happening is people getting a lot of false information and not being able to have conversations with each other. I see a lot of miscommunication that could potentially happen. You could also see a lot of people diagnosing each other with things that don't even that isn't even accurate. Like people love the buzzword narcissist these days, and it is one of the least common things that people actually through the DSM. It's not that common to have somebody be diagnosed as a true narcissist. I mean, we have people who have different reactions to things, maybe from, PTSD, we don't know, but there's been a lot of like that buzzwords, oh, such a narcissist. Well, you can have narcissistic behaviors or that, but that doesn't mean that you're a narcissist. You can have behaviors that look like that. And I don't know, I probably have some too, where I'm just like get in my own mode and different things. I think anybody could have one or two qualities like that, and it could be misunderstood. So I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Ziva for hanging out with Mama tonight. Hanging out with Mama, having conversations about, life and all things good.
Thanks, Eva.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.